no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Well, this is Warwick talking from El Salvador, and I was wandering around the streets and I popped into a cyber cafe, and who should be online but two Australians, Jim and Coral McElroy, who'd just come over from Venezuela, who'd done a run up to Mexico and seen the sights, the Mayan ruins, and now we're back at my hotel room and having a bit of a chat about the situation in San Salvador. Now, Coral, you were at the big rally where 300,000 people turned up. And in fact, I think you invited up on stage. You talk a little bit. This was Funes' final election speech, wasn't it? The presidential candidate.
Yeah, it's the presidential candidate for the FMLN, Mauricio Funes. And that was the last rally for the FMLN, or the last sort of the major rally for the FMLN, the closing ceremony, really, sort of, for the FMLN, was held on Saturday afternoon, starting at about 4 or 5 o'clock, and went on till about 7 o'clock with speeches. But they had 20 stages and... six stages, sorry, and 20 bands, music bands, playing. And they say at least probably maybe even up to 500,000 people turned out and filled the whole, not the whole street of Juan Pablo Segundo, but a kilometre distance. And we wandered back after the rally and looked around and listened to some music, and it was just full of people with red T-shirts. It reminded us a bit of Caracas, Venezuela, a sort of a rerun of the election campaigns.
You've seen a few big rallies there, haven't you?
Yeah, but it sort of had that whole feeling. It was the real feeling of victory, of possibilities that they can win. I'll explain. There were a couple of speeches, one by the national coordinator of the FMLN, whose name is Mercedo Fernandez, I think, and then also the vice president spoke, who is Salvador Seren, and then finally Mauricio Funes spoke. And they were really good speeches and encouraging everybody to go out and get the vote. And to the main problem we're going to face, though, is the fraud. The massive fraud that Arena are organising.
And how did Mauricio Funes strike you as a speech maker? Is he charismatic, or is he like the previous FMLN leader, Shafiq Handel? I mean, he's very different in his style, isn't he?
I think he's charismatic, and it was very clear speech, very good speech. I mean, he's not sort of the calibre of Hugo Chavez. I mean, he read from a few notes, but then who could repeat what Chavez does? But I mean, a very intelligent, very clear, obviously committed candidate, and people are very confident in him, you see, because he's been on a television announcer and reading on the news and an interviewer for, I think, for 10 or 15 years. So people feel very familiar with him, and so I think for that reason, you know, they know him, and therefore they are very confident in this election campaign. And it's a real feeling of, you know, this will be the change, the final change, you know, and they'll get rid of Arena and all the corruption and massive problems that have happened. I also heard stories that Mauricio Funes, his eldest son, who was studying medicine in Paris, was 15 days after Mauricio Funes accepted the nomination by the FMLN, 15 days, his eldest son was assaulted in Paris, and he was studying medicine and killed by a gang. Now, that hasn't been resolved, but it looks really suspicious. But, you know, people have also told us that Mauricio Funes will not sell out. You know, they know that, you know, he's been offered millions of dollars to disappear from the campaign, and he has not done a run or anything. And so people are really confident in him and his leadership. And you begin to feel the same here about his presidential candidate, that he's a very strong candidate, and that's why Arena is shitting themselves.
Yeah, and I guess his background's in the media, and his high level of expertise is one of the reasons that the Arena presidential candidate Avila is absolutely refusing to go face to face with him in a TV debate.
Yeah, on Saturday night, Thunis again offered a, asked for a debate face to face with Avila, because there's 4 days left of the campaign. It closes actually tonight at midnight, this Wednesday tonight. And so far he's refused because, he just can't. They say he can only speak for 3 minutes, and then he hasn't anything more to say. And there was also, we saw Funes on television in an interview with CNN, I think they put it on television. There's hardly any media or television and mass media and radio for Funes because Arena have just, tons and tons of advertisements that they've paid millions of dollars for. Anyway, we did see an interview with him, and some interviewer asked him, "Well, Mauricio, when you win on the 15th of March in the presidential election, what are you going to do on the 16th, on Monday the 16th of March?" And Funes said, "I won't be doing anything because I won't be president then, So, it's really quick and smart and can answer all these stupid questions they put up by CNN interviewers.
Es despertar y romper el bozal y las cadenas. Es conjugar y sentir el verbo amar sin fronteras. Es conseguir que la luna nos dé su pan y su beso. Cuando liberemos la tierra del que encarcela los sueños. Es escribir en el libro. Hasta la victoria siempre, compañero.
Jim, were you sort of, did you find Funes charismatic?
Well, yes. Well, my answer would have been, I'll be taking a good sleep in. But yes, he's not charismatic in the manner of Fidel or Chavez, a great popular speaker who speaks for hours and hours and hours at the end.
Although he can get a crowd pumping.
Get a crowd pumping, and that crowd on Saturday was pumping. And this is, this is my first visit to El Salvador and to Central America, but. You really have a feel of change in the air, and you just have that feeling that, the only thing that can save the regime is really massive fraud, and this is going to be a problem. If they do pull it off, if they do manage to carry out that fraud, we're going to face a really, very difficult situation on Monday, next Monday, can tell you that, because the people are overwhelmingly determined, that they're not going to have the victory stolen. So now, in his speech, among other things, Funes made some specific statements about evidence they have about fraud, including busing, I imagine, hundreds, if not thousands, of people across the border from Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, and they're giving them false identity cards. Which are based on the identities of people who are dead, people in prison, and people, El Salvadorans, that are overseas. And so they're going to present this to the media. But another allegation that's been made is that employers, who overwhelmingly are supporting Arena, are telling employees that they have to take a photo of their voting paper with their mobile phone and show it to them on Monday, and if it doesn't show they're voting for Arena, they get the sack.
Oh,
so that's another allegation going around now. How widespread that is, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me that this is very widespread. So it just shows you the sort of lengths to which the ruling class in El Salvador go to protect this regime, which is a sort of... as one person said to us, it's the last holdout of the really extreme right wing governments in Central America. There's not that many left in Latin America, which expresses something. There's you can really number the ones that are really holdouts, and that's Colombia, Peru, El Salvador. The other governments are either revolutionary in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, Evo Morales in Bolivia, you've got Correa in Ecuador, you've got a radical ex-bishop in Lugo in Paraguay now, and then of course you have maybe you could call them centrist governments in Lula, Bachelet, and Kirchner, and so on. So you can argue where these people are at. Even in, I suppose you have to include Mexico in the extreme right-wing governments that still exist. Guatemala has a sort of social democratic government. Honduras has a centrist government. Costa Rica has a centrist government, and Panama has a sort of a centrist government. So the U.S., in terms of direct agencies of their power, which historically has been the predominant factor in Latin American history, and mainly, of course, these brutal military dictatorships. ARENA is the flow-on from the military dictatorship which existed in the war of terrible repression and violence that went on for 20 years here in El Salvador. So, this is very important. This election, you know, it's got to be seen morally as one of the really important turning points in Latin American history recently, because everybody, probably more people know about El Salvador, we talk about internationally, than in most other countries in Latin America, even, dare I say, Venezuela. El Salvador has this moral position in the West because of issues like the murder of Archbishop Romero, the murder of the North American nuns, the priests, that particular element of the El Salvadoran struggle has made it a kind of a moral center in terms of Western understanding, you know, of Latin America. And for the ARENA government to fall and the FMLN win after all this time, it's going to be fantastic. People will be dancing in the streets all over the place, and I know they will in Caracas, especially since the main center of the propaganda of ARENA on TV, and it comes at you all the time, is that the whole election campaign revolves around the fact that Hugo Chavez wants to dominate El Salvador, and that you've got to not vote for Funes because he's going to allow Hugo Chavez to dominate El Salvador. By the way, I might point out, and we, Carl Winter and myself, Jim McElroy, we interviewed a mayor, one of the FMLN mayors in one of the rural villages, and very interesting because actually what has been the impact of Venezuela and Chavez has been the provision of cheap oil and petroleum through the FMLN mayors mainly, which has kept down the price of petrol in El Salvador, and the provision of this fuel, which you see petrol stations with ALBA written on them, which is the Latin American Bolivarian alternative, and it's growing as a whole alternative economic and political structure to the US-based free trade agreements. They've got petrol stations with ALBA on them, and these petrol stations are selling this fuel from Venezuela, and everyone's going there. And the profits from that petroleum are being used by the FMLN-controlled municipalities for social projects, health and education and things like that. It's fantastic. So, right, if you want to vote for any El Salvadorans out there, if you want to vote against cheap petrol and against having better education and health, then of course you'll agree with ARENA.
Coral, you've been here long enough to talk to some of the Salvadoran people. Is this feeling or this desire for an FMLN victory, is this just FMLN propaganda? Or I'm sort of wondering where the opposition is coming.
Well, look, you just get... We were surprised, I admit, because we've heard from the Salvadorans in Australia time and again, this time they're going to win and we'll have a victory. We heard that in 94, you know, 2003... Yeah. And you sort of, you get it, because they never weren't able to get the victory, you're a little bit sceptical. Also because they lost the mayor of San Salvador, the FMLN lost the mayor of San Salvador on the January 18 elections, because ARENA did a very smart thing and separated the two elections out. And so we were sceptical, but once you get here and you get this feeling, it's not just sort of the big rallies. We've been to two big rallies now, one in a small town of Zacatecalapeca, sort of an hour and a half out of San Salvador. And thousands of people turned up. They'd never seen such a big rally. You know, that was last night, and Mauricio Funes spoke at that in the evening, and people... just
what, you were invited to speak at this rally?
Yes, well, I think it's a bit rare for foreigners to turn up in these small towns, and so when they knew that we were there, someone approached me and said, oh, you're the Australians, aren't you? Can you come up on stage and speak? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. So we both went up and, you know, we gave a message out for people to vote for Mauricio Funes. There's got to be a change in Central America. There's already a change sweeping Latin America, yeah. And El Salvador will be part of that change.
And you were the Australian presence there.
Yeah, yeah. It was three of us. Also. Oh, yeah, so that was really good. And then the night before that, actually, in the afternoon, we went to another meeting of, you know, really poor people in the campo. Mm-hmm. And it was just a meeting of, say, about... of 50 people, but the newly elected mayor of La Paz also came along and gave a rousing speech. So there's meetings taking place everywhere, you know, and you can see they're just poor campesinos who, you know, are really suffering from the effects of the economy. And also you're walking in the street and there's literally dozens of cars going past, red cars with flags hanging out from the FMLN. And they're also going around all the streets with loudspeakers and playing the FMLN tunes and somebody talking. So it's not just sort of one incident, it's dozens of incidents that you see people all the time. And they're all out in their red T-shirts, you know, painting up the poles red and white and hanging out banners. It's an amazing feeling. I mean, I really think this time the FMLN can do it. The people are so fed up. One thing I should mention is the economy here is so terrible. They converted to the US dollar in 2000, and things are so expensive for ordinary people. You know, before when...
Neoliberalism didn't work for them.
Oh, God, no. You know, people are really, really poor. You know, you feel it. They think about every dime that they spend, you know, because they're just struggling. You know, like we stayed at a place last night. She's a teacher or a director of a primary school, and, you know, they live in really, you know, difficult conditions, you know.
In spite of this co-op, something I've noticed is that the people around here are scrupulously honest. I mean, you know, you get nervous about taxi drivers, and you get a quote for the price, and then they get stuck in the traffic, and you say, I'll get out earlier, and he'll say, oh, that'll only be $2 instead of $4, you know. Or you go to one of the little street vendors, and they'll give you 5 cents change, you know. I find that extraordinary.
Look, yeah, this is the difference, you know. The people, the ordinary people are just wonderful. They're just, and they're so appreciative of the support they get from other countries, you know, from the first world, from Canada, United States, Europe, and especially Australia. They think, oh, gosh, you've come so far. You know, and we tell them, we know of your struggle. You know, we've heard of your struggle. We know how difficult it's been. And we really, you know, support you. And also, I made a special call for women to vote for Funes. Because, see, the ARENA campaign are actually making a big push into the really rural poor, the poor who are really, really, really poor, and offering them money. There was a woman who went on television in one of their ads and said, I'm Nicaraguan and don't vote at all because the left-wing governments in Nicaragua, they can't last and they've done a terrible job. Anyway, a journalist... I don't know who it was, but one of the newspapers went round and tracked down this woman, and found out that she was actually not Nicaraguan. She'd never lived in Nicaragua. She lived from a very poor village, very, very poor, and they paid her $300 to say this, and she just had the features of a Nicaraguan, but she wasn't Nicaraguan. And so they're handing out money hand over fist to buy the vote.
There's a lot of it around. But what you were saying before about international observers, I know I was just walking up the street this morning and I saw them putting up some FMLN posters up on the, pasting them up on the wall. And I stopped and I said, okay, if I take some pictures, because I haven't taken many pictures yet. And the guy said, yeah, yeah. And he sort of looked, post up another poster, you know, put it, he's up on a ladder. And he could speak a bit of English, and he turned to me and said, where are you from? Australia. And he almost had tears in his eyes when he was saying how much they wanted the international observers here, you know, what it meant to them to have them so that this election would not be stolen. It just meant so much to him. And I understand, Jim, that you're going to be one of these observers, or both of you are.
Oh, yes. Carol and I, and along with Ovidio Oriana, who's a Guatemalan Australian, he's been travelling with us. We travel from Guatemala together, and... Plus, we're not quite sure how many others, but at least a dozen other Australian, mostly Australian El Salvadorans, who are part of the 30,000, people may not realise this, Salvadorans who live in Australia. Most of them, well, a great number of them are refugees who came out from, you know, suffering the effects of the war. Some have been tortured and, you know, suffered all sorts of troubles, relatives that were killed in the war and so on like that. And many of them come back, and also a large number of people are coming from the United States, Canada and Europe, many of them being El Salvadorans returned who may well be citizens now of their new country. So they're coming under that passport. But, of course, they do have the advantage of the language, Spanish, and also a certain amount of local knowledge. So all together we'll have to work together and form a team to try to... watch what's happening.
What sort of things will be looking out for?
Well, actually, to be truthful, Warwick, we're going to find out tomorrow. We're getting our capacitation, which is our training program tomorrow from the FMLN about what it is that we'll be actually doing. But I imagine we'll be, you know, there are some things we can't obviously do. All we can do is watch, I suppose, for the obvious, any obvious signs of things. You know, I mean, we're not going to be able to tell anything that's done in computers and so on like that.
I suppose it takes local knowledge to sort of spot a Nicaraguan accent or...
Yes. Well, that's where having El Salvadoran Australians or Salvadoran American, North Americans may actually help. They may be able to do that, you know. But, look, the feeling... One thing I'd like to add... the slogan that you hear, we heard on Saturday, the slogan you hear all the time is, this time it's different.
Oh, yeah.
Mauricio Funes for president. This time it's different. In other words, the FMLN, with the end of the Civil War, the signing of the peace agreement in 1992, I think it was, 92, all the period since then has been a struggle by the FMLN to integrate itself into the political... so-called legal political structure, and each time, each election, they've won a higher percentage of the vote, and this time they're going for gold. They're going to try to get the presidency.
Con esta voz miles de rabias que me alborotan la garganta.
Arena is completely discredited. I mean, they're an outpost of the United States. They've almost destroyed the economy here, and people are really fed up. Social infrastructure is destroyed. The hospitals, the schools, there's just no provision of facilities. All the wealth of the country is being stolen by the oligarchy, and you've got the narco traffickers, which are completely tied in with and Rodrigo Avila is the former police chief. How popular is that? In fact, we were driving along this morning, and Coral spotted a huge poster up on the thing, which is a Simpsons poster with, was it Bart? I think Bart Simpson was saying, don't vote for an ex-policeman.
For an ex-cop. I like it.
So anyway, we'll do our best and in terms of, you know, what we can do to assist in this way. But the feeling is definitely there, and you know, you just hope that it's possible that we can, you know, all the different forces that are on, including the other international observers from the European Union and from the Latin American Parliament, that kind of thing, can create an atmosphere in which it makes it difficult for ARENA to pull it off.
It'd be sort of a deterrent, if nothing else.
It's a deterrent, especially in the new, you know, the international political situation has to play some role. You know, like, okay, Bush has been replaced with Obama. Well, I mean, formally speaking, according to the newspapers, Obama issued a statement to the US embassy, hands off, El Salvador, that they were not to interfere openly, he didn't say that, they were not to interfere in the El Salvadoran election. Well, now, you know...
Which they did in 94.
Which they did, of course, and they have quite openly in all previous elections. Yeah. So whether that's just... window dressing, and whether this is going to continue, we don't know. But then again, looking at it from another point of view, I wonder, does in the correlation of forces in the world and in the United States today, does Obama really want the ARENA government in there, which is probably very, very closely linked to the Bush crowd and the Republican Party? So maybe he'd be just as happy to have a change and adopt different tactics towards it. I mean, yes. This is the big question in Latin America as a whole. Will the change to Obama in the United States not so much mean, of course, that the United States imperialism will change its spots and become a tabby cat, but whether the US administration will change its tactics towards Latin America.
Be less blatant, perhaps.
Less blatant with their interference, and possibly try a little bit more in terms of, what shall we say, buying people off rather than trying to crush them with military coups.
You like to say, you have to out and there's a dinner on tomorrow.
Maybe just to say, that we're visiting here from Venezuela, where we've been living, and we're going back there after the elections. And it was wonderful to see that rally on Saturday, which seemed so much like a Chavista rally in Venezuela with the red T-shirts and so many young people. This is really striking. You know, they have definitely got the young people here supporting this movement for change. The El Salvadoran elections are the next domino to fall, shall we say. Change is sweeping Latin America. It's sort of heading south and it's heading north now. And hopefully El Salvador will receive that change, and there will be a complete turnaround in the sort of policies that are being implemented by government here. That's actually a beacon for the entire world.
Yeah, just to finish up, Warwick, I just think it's we're really passing through a very historical time, you know, and these rallies are really historic, and they'll go down in memory, I think, in history books, you know, what's happening here. And I think, you know, the one thing we really have to do is, they keep saying, is to guard the vote, is to make sure there's no stealing of the ballot papers, and that they can't stuff the ballot boxes. And, you know, the one thing I did learn, we learned with this the San Salvador, the mayor election, you know, we were disappointed and perhaps people were a bit demoralised over the loss of that, but there was a massive fraud. Everybody from the ARENA organised thousands of people, must have been hundreds of thousands of people, from the municipalities around San Salvador to vote in that election. You know, and I don't think the FMLN expected that to happen. And so that's how they did it, with a massive fraud. You know, of course, the candidate, Violeta, was a really good candidate. She'd been in there, you know, for maybe 6 years. And they made a special effort to round up the vote to get rid of her from San Salvador.
They needed to knock her out.
They needed to knock her out, yes. So, you know, we shouldn't see that as a sort of a major loss. It was just due to massive fraud. But this time, it's good there's so many international observers from all around the world here, and we're going to, you know, take photos and videos and use microphones to make sure that that vote is recorded, is the true vote. And that what they're hoping for is that there'll be such an overwhelming vote for the FMLN that the fraud will not be possible, or they won't be able to mount such a massive fraud. So, no, we're really optimistic, and I think this is a new era in the history of El Salvador and the history of Central America.
Very exciting indeed, and see each other again on Monday as the vote gets counted out, and there'll probably be a big street party on Avenida San Juan Pablo. I'll see you there.
Oh, thanks very much, Warwick, for the interview.
And so thanks for talking to Community Radio.
Thanks very much, Warwick, and greetings to everyone back in Australia.
Saludos a los todos los compañeros. Hasta la victoria siempre.